You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. This is where they share their latest creations, products, services, experiences, as well as business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. Today, we are speaking with Rule M. Hamilton, a Dallas entrepreneur who worked his way up the corporate ladder to build the highly successful real estate investment company, AmeriSouth Realty. Through his leadership, the company specializes in the ownership, development, and acquisition of multifamily projects within the affordable housing industry. Rule, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. So for starters, tell us about yourself, Rule. How did you get to where you're at today?
Well, I am a Dallas native. I grew up in a blue-collar neighborhood, working parents. In an area that typically probably half, two-thirds of the kids I graduated from high school with did not go on to college, which is not something that was expected necessarily. I went from there and worked my way through school on a variety of jobs. At one point, I was even a card-carrying, dues-paying member of the United Auto Workers. So we kind of, scratched and worked every way I could to pay for the schooling. Got through it, had a family along the way while all that was going on, and ended up in the savings and loan business in the early 80s. And Texas, as well as other parts of the country, is a very tumultuous time. Nothing has quite compared to it since. It was quite an experience, shortened learning curve. I was there 5 years, worked very closely with the majority stockholder and CEO, who became my lifetime mentor, but got to see a lot of things really quick. It collapsed, and the company did along with the industry in 1987. And at that point, that is when I formed the company to be able to manage and broker properties for some of the customers that I had at the savings and loan. At the end of my time there, I was actually a workout officer for problem loans and problem customers, and developed some relationships from that and ended up putting the management business together, which kind of got me started. One of the unique parts of my experience and how I came into the industry is that I did not come out of the real estate industry. So I took a different approach. It happened by chance, not by planning, and as a result, my perspective ended up being different than a lot of the people that I deal with, particularly on the multifamily side. Most of the multifamily operators came out of the multifamily business, and to me, my background was finance, and so I looked at things a little bit differently.
If you would briefly tell us, what is AmeriSouth Realty? Briefly get into that as we move along.
AmeriSouth owns, develops, and when I say develops, that includes redevelopment, affordable rental apartment communities in primarily Texas. So we are generally considered what's called an owner-operator. We don't do fee management for other people, so we're not a management company. This is the way I tell my people. We're a real estate investment company. Now, we manage the properties that we invest in and that we purchase. But our focus is as an owner. It's not just like a fee property manager. We also, within the same confines of what we consider affordable, we have developed several communities, and we have purchased communities that some that needed all kinds of work, and some that didn't need very much at all. But the basic profile of the properties that were pre-existing, they were built from 66 or 67 to 1975. We never wanted to get into the newer properties. In Texas, a number were constructed in the early 80s. And the issue we had, although many people consider them superior, I consider all the 80s product inferior. The properties built with HUD money during the 60s, a lot of controls, the way money was spent and completion was guaranteed, it was very stringent. All the stuff built with savings and loan money in the 80s was built by inexperienced developers, a lot of it was, inexperienced lenders, and as a result, they got a lot of flaws construction-wise. So that was our focus, and that's what we have tried to stay into, and it plays into the whole affordable angle that I know we've discussed.
Now, you foresaw the affordable housing crisis back in the 90s before it became a huge pandemic in America. How has your company been solving, and how is your company currently solving this issue for Texas?
Well, what we work on, as I said, is the older communities. And what we saw as these communities became prepayable, these loans from HUD did, that people did all sorts of things with them. So they didn't keep them in a position where they were affordable. They either tore them down and built something new, or they upgraded them to where the rents were outside of what a typical wage earner would be able to afford. And so we saw that shrinking and saw an opportunity. Our thought was, let's just keep these properties. There's money to be made just keeping them exactly what they are. Basic workforce housing, nothing fancy. Don't have to spend all the huge amount of dollars to renovate them and upgrade them, but we need to keep them physically in good shape and prepared to last for another 40 or 50 years.
Today we're joined by Rule M. Hamilton, founder of AmeriSouth Realty that specializes in the ownership, development, and acquisition of multifamily projects within the affordable housing industry. You're on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter simply at ePodcast Network. Rule, would you consider expanding to other regions or states with your business model, or provide consulting to other business people that are interested in this type of real estate investing?
Well, I would consider consulting with people who are interested in doing these things in different parts of the country. However, the areas that I think would be most effective are the states that we have the most in common with. We don't have the, Texas, there's endless amount of space, and even in our cities, Dallas has a tremendous amount of undeveloped land. Houston's the same. Austin's slightly different, but instead of worrying about having to go up as you build your apartment complexes because land is limited, you just go a little further out. So competing and understanding what's going on in the Northeast is not something that I think fits. However, the model, the position is still the same. We've got to keep these older properties, continue to keep them in what I would call the affordable housing pool. They don't need to be, so that's the way that we avoid making the problem worse. So as we move forward in the way that we can preserve these long term, we have as I've mentioned, there's a tremendous affordable housing shortage all across the country. And it's well documented. Harvard group did a study, after the 2010 census, a number of people have. And there's a lot of people that are, even legislatively and people in the Capitol and so forth, that are aware of it, but there's not any easy solutions to it. Now, it's tied directly with the change in wealth distribution that is also another hot topic that people talk about, is because there's more and more people that have incomes have fallen to a level where they cannot afford the type of apartment rents or even home prices than they did in previous years. So we've got more people sliding down into this affordable pool, or the need for affordable, and it's not expanding fast enough. So currently today, the only solution that's out there other than direct money given by HUD to housing authorities is what's the as a part of the tax code. It's the low-income housing tax credit program, whereby developers are given tax incentives to develop these properties. And this is all over the country, develop these properties. And as an offset for getting these tax credits, which they can sell, then they have to agree to keep the rents at certain levels for, you know, whatever period of time, varies state to state. They're awarded on a somewhat competitive basis by each state. They all handle that. However, it's all based, the economics are all based on tax credits, which are bought and used by all the major corporations as part of their tax planning. However, the biggest issue we have is even if the existing pool of affordable housing were to stay static, and what I mean is not get any smaller, not get any larger, the need for the affordable units is not being, the new construction with the tax credit, the low-income housing tax credit project, it's getting worse, it's widening every year. So a number of affordable housing projects developed using tax credits can't keep up with the need for growth in affordable units. So my approach to that, or how we look at that, is the first thing you need to know is, you know, stop the bleeding. So what can we do to keep as many of these older properties functioning and serving as rental opportunities for tenants? In many parts of the country, and particularly here, there's an attitude that, you know what, this apartment was built in 1965 and it's old and it's been run down. Somebody didn't keep it as good as they should have, so maybe let's just tear it down and start over. Well, that can be true in a lot of cases. But what we've focused on most recently is finding these projects that a lot of people think are just not worth renovating. And we've gone in and we've done exactly that. We've not taken them back to the way they were when they were built the best we could, and keeping them in that pool. And so that's one of the things that I talk to people about all over the country. We can't give up on them. There's still opportunity there. It's not glamorous. You got to get your fingernails dirty sometimes, but it's serving certainly a need that, as I said, is only going to grow unless things change drastically. And so that's what I speak to members of Congress about, members of the local government and so forth. Now, our approach is that, you know what, not everybody agrees to our feeling, particularly about the southern part of our city where we're focused. That is the blue-collar area, so to speak, of the Dallas area. And that's where we've focused on, or most recently, on our acquisitions. A lot of people would like to see it just torn up and going away. We want to keep them in place because as these projects get torn down, as the growth goes to the south, the areas are just being gentrified. And what we're seeing is working force families, blue-collar jobs, that can, as the areas are gentrified, they can no longer keep up with the ability to live there from a housing perspective. So we hate to see that happen. Part of what makes our cities, the vitality of our cities, and particularly Dallas, is the diversification. It's not just providing people with you know, affordable place to live. It also plays a vital role into keeping our cities diversified. It happens in Manhattan, and it's a real problem there because a lot of people love Manhattan because of the melting pot it is, all people of all sorts, all races, all wages, all education levels. But right now, the people that need the affordable housing, they're getting squeezed out.
Final 60 seconds. How do you foresee the housing issue in the next 10 to 20 years for America? And is it going to get better or worse at the rate that we're going?
It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, and it's getting worse at an accelerating rate, which, you know, that's why we've spent a lot of time focusing on the things that we have.
How about telling our listeners where they can get more information about AmeriSouth Realty online and how they can be in touch?
Okay, our website is www.AmeriSouthRealty.com, and that AmeriSouth is AmeriSouth, and the rest of that, realty.com. But it's not a great website. We didn't spend our money on that. We try to spend it on our properties. But it does give you some basic information about what we've done, our capabilities, and also how you might learn more. And then also some various clippings and news clippings and attachments that you can go to that can give you some background.
Rua, we certainly do appreciate your time so much, and continued success, and certainly look forward to another conversation in the future right here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric.
You're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Rule M. Hamilton, founder of AmeriSouth Realty, that specializes in the ownership, development, and acquisition of multifamily projects within the affordable housing industry. And once again, for more information and for contact, simply visit AmeriSouthRealty.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.